Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our message this morning is our gospel reading read from Luke chapter 4. To begin with, I would like to draw your attention to two different parts of this text. First of all, in verses 18 and 19, where Jesus reads the words of Isaiah 61 in the worship service, and which say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then verse 21, Jesus proclaims literally from the Greek, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in all y'all's ears." This is our text. Friends, why? Why are you even here right now? It's an honest and sincere question. Why are you here? I mean, it's not like you haven't been here before, and you already know what to expect. This is just another service, right? Well, what difference does it make? It's the same thing every Sunday. Now, even if we never say those things, that's what our old sinful nature thinks. It is why we sometimes find it to be such a chore to drag our feet to come to church. It's why it's so much easier to make a habit out of something, anything else, on Sunday morning. Look, we all have so many important things to do in life, and each of those things requires a certain amount of time and effort. And since I already know about and love and believe in Jesus, and I already know that the same old pastor is just going to say the same things I've heard about Jesus 1,000 times before, well, of course, I am going to then be okay with less Jesus rather than more, right? And it's the same with my daily devotions, with my time in prayer, with my commitment to Bible study. Let's just be honest. You know your sinful nature doesn't want you to be here right now. But you also know you can't trust that sinful nature, can you? I mean, that's why it's called our sinful nature, because its entire purpose, its entire goal is to keep you and me out of God's Word and away from Jesus. That's why this whole church thing can be such a fight. Maybe you haven't thought about this before, but you are always up against yourself to make it here. And yet, God created us, God saved us, so that Sunday worship and hearing God's Word should be the most natural thing in the world for us. But it isn't. It's not natural for us, sinful beings. But it is for Jesus. Verse 16, "He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day." How about that? And the Holy Scripture is his own word. Yet, as a child, Jesus studied and learned it by heart. And now, as an adult, he is living it out, fully devoted to it. It is his custom, his habit is to love the Word. And so he attends the Sabbath worship faithfully. Well, what would that be like? To come to church not as a duty or a burden. Not because you feel like you have to do it, or simply as a matter of routine. Not even because we need it, though let's not kid ourselves, we do need it, so long as that sinful nature refuses to leave us. But to come to worship, to church, out of pure love and eagerness to be here. That's the life of Jesus. He's the one who told the devil when he was being tempted in the wilderness only a few days earlier in verse 4 of this same chapter. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the guy described by Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that says, blessed is the man, Jesus, blessed is the man, his delight is in the law, that is, the word of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Yes, it was normal. It was natural for Jesus to be in church, to hold God's word sacred, and to gladly hear and learn it, as Martin Luther teaches us in the Small Catechism. But this Sabbath day here in our gospel reading today, this was different from others. This time, Jesus didn't come to the synagogue in Nazareth just because he was, quote, the earthly son of Joseph. I mean, he's already done that. He's been the obedient son and the upstanding citizen of Nazareth for 30 years. This time, though, he wasn't there to be a hearer of the word. This time, he came to his hometown synagogue as a teacher of the word, a rabbi, a guest preacher in his home congregation. He came not as the son of Joseph, but as the son of God, the Father in heaven. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. In other words, this was the prepared, the pre-assigned text for the day, just as we have here in our services each Sunday. And so, quote, he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You know, I've actually done this before, what Jesus was doing. I've gone back to and preached at the church where I grew up in Fort Collins. And it was certainly different for those who remembered me as that little rug rat running around the church and chasing my friends. I mean, they told me just that. It was weird to see you up in the pulpit. That's not how we remember you. The home folks in Nazareth, they had never seen this side of Jesus before. They had never heard him like this. And so whether they came that day out of habit or obligation or even out of love for the word, they got more than they expected. This wasn't just another service according to custom. You know, go through the motions and then just head home. When Jesus rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, verse 20 says that the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. What a great description. All eyes in the church are fixed on Jesus. No dozing in the pew after a late night. No daydreaming about those NFL playoff games later on today. No furtive glances at a phone or at your watch to see how long the sermon's going to last this Sunday. Wouldn't it be great if those words described us here today? Jesus came and the eyes of all were fixed on him. His sermon was just what a sermon is supposed to be. It wasn't a lecture on theology or a list of 10 steps to a better you or a rally for some social or political issue. Now, in a simple and profound way, Jesus applied God's word to the people here and now, before their very eyes. Quote, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in all y'all's ears." Plural view. What Jesus is saying is this. These words in Isaiah, they are about me, folks. It is a very physical, right before your eyes and ears experience that Jesus brings to these people in worship that day. It's as if the words of the prophet stepped right off the page and stood in front of them, like one of those movies where the characters of a book come to life as the words are read. Except, this was no fairy tale. This was no story. This was all real. A real scroll. The real Jesus with real words from his mouth into the real ears of his hearers. He brings God's word in four dimensions, in time and space. How? Because Jesus is the Word in human flesh. The Word that is living and active. The Word that is present here in this place for you. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. It was only a month or so earlier that the Spirit in the form of a dove settled upon him from heaven. And he is the anointed one ever since his baptism, the promised Messiah, the Christ. That's why he went to the synagogue that Sabbath day. And the people, they couldn't believe their ears. Verse 2, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Well, no, not really. Truthfully, he is the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's why he comes, present tense, to church so faithfully still today. For the same five reasons that Isaiah said that he would come. Number one, to deliver the good news of salvation to you, poor and needy sinners. Number two, to proclaim liberty to you who are held captive to your sinful nature. Number three, to give sight to you who are blind and in the darkness of this corrupt world. Number four, to set free you who are oppressed by the pressures of your family, your peers, and more. And number five, to proclaim the grace-filled news that the Jubilee year of the Lord has begun. That is the time of his salvation by grace. Just as it was in Nazareth folks. So it is right now, today, my dear Christians. It is all happening literally in your ears. That's how Jesus makes Himself and His forgiveness known for you. As St. Paul said in Romans 10, verses 17, it's not about entertainment. It's not about, oh, I'm the pastor and I'm going to move all over the place and I'm going to get your attention. No. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. It's real. It's here. It's right now. Today is the same word from Holy. This same word from Holy Scripture is fulfilled again. Jesus the Christ comes here physically with the Lord's favor in your ears for you. You see, that's the point of every Sunday. Flesh and blood Jesus, true God and also true man, He steps into our worship. Look, Jesus never grows tired of doing this. He loves to fulfill His word again and again, to be the word for poor, lost sinners like you and me. And so this Sunday, next Sunday, and every Sunday, it isn't about you and what you're doing here. I know I just burst a whole bunch of bubbles. I'm sorry. It is not about you and what you are doing here. Though it's good and it's important that you are, what matters is that He, Jesus, is here. Here for the depressed and despairing. Here for the sinner and the sinned against. Here for all who are oppressed, victimized, abused, taken advantage of, and suffering. Yes, Jesus is the answer to the prayer that we prayed earlier in the Collect of the Day. Stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. But not all who hear believe, do they? Just look at the people in Jesus' hometown. What do they want with Jesus? Apparently not the good news He proclaims, the liberty He brings, the sight He restores, or the freedom He promises. No, they want Him dead. And so they drive Him out of town and up to the cliff that Nazareth is built upon. They want the Anointed One crushed for them, bruised and wounded, stricken and smitten and afflicted. That hill, though, wasn't Calvary, but it was close. And Jesus came to be that word too, the despised, rejected, crucified word. He came to suffer for our sins, for the way that we have groaned about hearing His word, for our indifference to the word, for the times we have allowed ourselves to be distracted or enticed away from it. And instead of taking His word away and leaving us without hope or help, which we absolutely deserve, Jesus, He still continues to come. He comes and He extends the Father's favor to us again. He doesn't have to be here though. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't need what we give Him. Our sins, our prayers, our offerings. But He wants them. Because He loves us all. And so He comes week after week, service after service, forgiving, loving, showing mercy to us. Because we are the ones who need Him every day. You see, the joy of life here in Christ Church is that it's never, never just another service. Every single week is a little Christmas, another Epiphany. Aha! Jesus Himself is the rabbi, our teacher, whose word proclaims God's favor and grace. And he's more than that. He is God with us, right here in our midst, visiting us with his mercy and grace. And that's why we want to be here, even when we can't. And sometimes that's the case, that we can't be here, but we want to be here. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2 expresses our hearts well. It says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord." Oh, I guess we are not just the old sinful nature after all, because since our baptism, we can tell the devil to get out, to stop harassing you, because Jesus is here. You've got a new master, folks. It's Jesus in us who drags us out of bed. Oh yeah, sometimes kicking and screaming right here into the pew, so that we can receive his gifts this week anew, so that the word can be fulfilled again in our hearing, so his forgiveness and life can fill us now. More than that, he is the one who leads our worship to rejoice in his word, to say, "What? Only one service this week?" Because he always wants more for us. That's just the way Jesus is. Always in church, always in his word, always flesh and blood, always crucified and risen for you, always with more forgiveness to speak until that day when the sinful nature is dead and buried forever. Then, on that day, oh, then we will be forever with the Lord. And yes, we will love every moment of it. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, and keep you in our Lord Jesus today and forever. Amen.